Turn to Psalm 39, please. Psalm 39. We're going to be going to a few passages of Scripture tonight. Psalm 39, verse number 4. The psalmist there writes, "Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days." So teach us to number our days. Psalm 90, verse 12. And in Psalm 39, 4, he says, "And the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am." I've underlined that phrase, "I may know how frail I am." In other words, that I may know what my time here is. That's where we measure our days. "Behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity." Selah. Now let's go over to Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Obviously, considering tonight life, we're considering the life that you have, that I have. You know, God brings circumstances into our life, I believe, in His perfect timing. There isn't anything that has come into my life that was late. I've heard preachers say, God is seldom early, but never late. He's always on time. Now, it's not my time, but it's God's time. I'm wanting God to do something yesterday, and God says it's not time yet. He's seldom early, but He's never late. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse number 11. Actually, let's go up to verse 10. "And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them." I withheld not my heart from any joy. Not a good way to live. "For my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was what? Vanity. Vanity. Empty. And vexation of spirit." And you know what? I read this today and it just, wow. It was like neon lights. This next phrase. "And there was no profit." No profit. I did all kinds of labor. I did all kinds of work. Whatever my eyes saw and liked, I took it. Or I grabbed a hold of it, whatever. Whatever my heart wanted, I withheld not, whatever my heart wanted, that's what I wanted. Everything that I could do. He says, when it came down to the end of it, it was empty and there was no profit. I began to think about, again, you know, numbering my days. And I began to think about the span of my days and my 70 and possibly 80, or the tale that is being told. And I wonder how many times that we could agree with here in Ecclesiastes that where's the prophet? And that's not P-R-O-P-H-E-T, prophet, like Elijah. What do we have left? What do we have because of our life to honor the Lord with, to glorify Him? Look over to verse 18, verse 17. Therefore I hated life. Wow. That's pretty strong, isn't it? But you see, when life is lived for me all the time, and me only, I guarantee you, we can come to that place where we say, I don't even like my life. Because it's vanity. It's vexation of spirit, because we were not created to live our 70 or however many years to fulfill the lust of Ben, but to honor and glorify God. There was no prophet. I hated life. Because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me. This life that I'm living under the sun, I believe that means right now. The life that I'm living now, it's grievous unto me, because again, I'm trying to please my eyes and my heart. Oh, and we know about our heart, it's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. For all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Verse 18. Yea, I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun. In other words, we're going about our days, and we're getting up in the morning, and we're laboring, and whatever labor means to you tonight, I don't know what it means to you, but it means different things to everybody. But we're going, what I mean by that is all of our days are different. You know what it means to labor and work. I'm not saying that, but we all have different schedules and different things and careers and opportunities, but it's part of our labor. And here he says that my labor is I hated it, because that which I had taken under the sun, for all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Yea, I hated all my labor. All of it? Really? All means all, and that's all means. What a sad place to be. I hated all of my labor, which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me. If we're only working, if we're only striving for temporal things, we leave it all behind for the next guy. I'm not talking about supplying and providing for your family if you pass away. I'm not talking, that's something we need to do. That's not what I'm talking about. What we're talking about is, he said all of his labor, every bit of his life, was spent for now. And he left it all behind. You've heard the preacher say that there's no funeral that involves a rider truck behind the hearse. You don't take anything with you when you go to the grave. I don't take anything with me that is temporal. It all stays behind. I asked myself this question this afternoon. Is God included in the plans I have for my life? Where is God in the plans that I have for my life? Where is the eternal in the plans that I have for my life? Where is glorifying God in the plans that I have? Where is serving Him in the plans that I have for my life? Turn with me quickly, and let's do a quick little Bible study here of three pictures that God gives about life. Turn to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Hebrews, James. You know these. These are all common, that you've probably heard all of them. But let's look at these three things. James chapter 4. The Bible says in verse 13, Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Nothing wrong with that, by the way. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boasting. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Number one, I believe we see a picture here that God gives us in verse 14, that life is a vanishing vapor. It is a vanishing vapor. It's here and gone. And I don't want my number of my days, I don't want my life to end and it be this. It was all vain. It was all vanity. I hated all my labor. Now, I don't have that attitude, but I know I don't want to get there. I don't know if I have next week. I have right now. And I want this time that I have in my life, I want to number it. I want to number my days and give honor and glory to God. It is a vanishing vapor. How much would my life change if I had only a few months to live? There was a way that somehow God would tell us, okay, Ben, you're at the 3-month mark. That's what it would be, John, wouldn't it? God's not going to tell me that. And I thought about that as I was thinking about it today. What if God would give us, okay, you're at the 3-month mark. You know what? We ought to live. We ought to live exactly like that. In fact, let's even bump it up. We should be living every day as if that was the day we were going to come face to face with Jesus Christ. And what would he want to find us doing? We know what the answer is. He would want to find us obedient and faithful to his word. Let's not get to the point where that's what it has to be. I wrote this down. Whatever those changes would be, make them now. Turn quickly to Isaiah chapter 40. It's a vapor. It's a vanishing vapor, life. Isaiah chapter 40. Verse number 6. Vanishing vapor. A year ago at Christmas time, I got my wife one of these KitchenAid teapots. Is that what you call them? Where you heat the water up and, man, it makes a loud whistle. You put it on the kettle, you put it on the stove. It's a really nice one. And if you don't have the lid on just tight enough, it doesn't blow the whistle like it's supposed to. But every time it blows the whistle, there's the vapor. But I mean, as fast as it comes out, it's gone. It's vanishing. Oh, it's still, there's still, I'm sure, particles in the air. But it's gone. Look what Isaiah says in verse 6. The voice said, in Isaiah 40, verse 6, the voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? He said, all flesh is as grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. Secondly, we see here a picture of our life. It is a fading flower. A fading flower. Nothing, there's nothing like a fresh bouquet of flowers, isn't it? And if you haven't given your wife any flowers and she likes flowers, maybe give your wife some flowers, you guys that are married, okay? But there's nothing like some fresh flowers. You know what? They don't stay fresh very long. I mean, they'll last a while. But I remember a couple of times when we had flowers on the table and maybe we were away for a while on a trip or something and we came back. Actually, when I spoke for the Persians, Brother Moran's, at Christmas, they gave me some flowers while we were leaving the next day. Carson's birth. We left those flowers on the table, and when we got home, they were faded. It only took a week, and they were faded. They weren't cared for properly. Here, the Bible tells us that just as much as the grass withers, the flower fades, that's our life. What are we doing with the flower of time that God has given us? Turn back to Job chapter 7. It's a vanishing vapor. It's a fading flower. Job chapter 7. Verse 7. Job says, "Oh, remember that my life is wind. Mine eyes shall no more see good." Turn over to Psalm 78. Psalm 78. Verse 39. Psalm 78, 39. "For he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again." Vanishing vapor, a fading flower, and a withering wind. A withering wind. Next time you see a vapor, maybe from the teapot, you can think, what am I doing with my tale that's being told? What am I doing with my life? Only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. You see a beautiful bouquet of flowers, and while they're beautiful for a period of time, they aren't going to be beautiful forever. They're going to fade over time. And we think, as we see those beautiful flowers, is my life beautiful in the eyes of God? Or do I, as Solomon said, do I hate it? Wow, that's strong words, isn't it? And then we all hear the wind. We don't really see much of the wind, except the effects of the wind, but the wind comes and it goes. It's like life. Life is short, no matter how long we live. Life is short, no matter how long we live. I went to visit Brother Ike today, and I've had the privilege of being Brother Ike's pastor now for over a decade. And many times in that amount of time, and before that, I have gone to visit people who were weeks, months away from meeting the Lord. You know, it doesn't matter who it is. It doesn't matter really how long I've even known the individual, really. Obviously, the longer you know somebody, it does impact you more. But you begin to, as you try to process all of this, you begin to think, you know, all of the different times and memories and things. And as I sat across from him today, and I had my New Testament, and I read so many verses of Scripture to him, and what a privilege it was to do that. I think here's a man who's not even 65 years of age, by the grace of God, because of his uncle, the testimony of his uncle and his life, I came to know the Lord. And he has lived his life, not perfect, because none of us are perfect, but in the time that I've known him, he's lived his life and to take in the Word of God. Take in God's Word. And it really challenged me. Began to cause me to once again reevaluate. Am I investing more in what's going to stay behind? Or am I trying to invest in eternity? And it's not about money necessarily. Could be part of it. But it's about putting my life and putting our life into eternal value. This life is going to be gone like that. Then what? Oh, I'm so thankful that if Ike takes his last breath in the next week or so, or I don't know how long God's going to let him live, but unless he performs a miracle, he's not going to be with us much longer. Lost a lot of weight. Cancer's a brutal thing. But he'll take his last breath here. He'll be with the Lord for all eternity. We have great hope, don't we? And God has given us that great hope of eternal life through Jesus Christ, and I'm so grateful for that tonight. But I'm also thankful that God is allowing me to live right now and see the power of God. It's not my power, it's not our power, or your power, but it's God's power. And as we live for God, our life is not in vain. Our life is not being spent and for material things. And yes, thank God, we need material things. We need these things to live, but may that not be what rules our life. And last night, I was on the video call with our son and grandson. I'm thinking, here's this little month old, a little bit over a month old baby. Here's Brother Ike. He's about to go see Jesus. Just life, and that's how it is, you know? The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, but let us not get to the point in our life where it is vanity, vexation. Boy, it's amazing to be a Christian, isn't it? I remember a song, "It's a grand thing to be a Christian. It's the best thing I know." And that's true. We're a great family. Family